This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
Welcome back to another edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. I am Paul Perticchese, and thank you for joining us this evening. Another week of college football in the books, another week of the NFL season, and there's so much to dissect. I'm going to break it all down for you, all the top prospects that stood out this week, an NFL rookie report, a lot of rookies really performing high at the NFL level, you know, and really looking forward to dissecting what I saw, taking a look ahead to this upcoming weekend, and breaking it all down for you this evening. So let's get right into it with the first segment of the night, and that is the NFL draft report. A lot of top prospects in college football really jumped out at me this weekend in terms of watching them on film, some things from the box score that popped, and really stood out in terms of, you know, stock up, stock down, draft capital, and that. I'm going to start right at the top with Miles Sanders, the running back out of Penn State, obviously was a big-time recruit a couple years ago, obviously been waiting in the wings behind Saquon Barkley. Barkley moved on to the NFL, and Miles Sanders has stepped up in a big way for Penn State, for the Nittany Lions. This past week, 22 carries, 200 yards, and 3 touchdowns. In the summer, when we did our running back preview show, Matt and I were really high on Miles Sanders. Just from the limited film that was available from his first 2 years at Penn State, Matt and I both felt comfortably having him in our top 7, top 8, and said he squarely was a guy that could even elevate himself and move his way up during this upcoming season. And I think that's what's happening. As we've seen, you know, Rodney Anderson, you know, get injured. We've seen David Montgomery, you know, not be as effective this year. We've seen Damian Harrison not be as good as he has in the past due to the Alabama pass offense kind of taking off this year. And then there's been Miles Sanders, who I think is quickly emerging, you know, in the mix to be, you know, one of the top 5 or 6 potential draft eligible running back prospects, you know, in next year's draft. I mean, some guys and some teams might prefer the change of pace, speed guys, the smaller guys, the Miles Gaskins of the world, the Bryce Loves, you know, the Justice Hills. But Miles Sanders really offers a unique combination of size, speed, athleticism, really impressive, can carry a heavy workload, can play special teams. Miles Sanders is a guy that is squarely stock up. I think he's a guy who, I didn't know if he'd be a guy that would come out after this year, but I think it's very possible he declares for the 2019 NFL draft, and I like his chances at potentially being a top 100 pick, you know, and going off the board somewhere on day 2 if he does. Really like his overall game. If we stick with the running back position a little bit, a couple other guys I wanted to talk about. I already mentioned Bryce Love's name. You know, this week Stanford played Oregon. He had 19 carries for 89 yards and 1 touchdown, 1 reception for 9 yards. Bryce Love, in terms of who he is in college, doesn't seem like it's changing much this year. It's why I was so surprised when he went back to school following last year. I thought he should have declared, should have came out. It's more wear and tear on his body. And the Stanford offense just doesn't utilize the running back in terms of the receiving game. So I think the biggest question that NFL evaluators and draft Twitter has with Bryce Love is his ability to impact the game receiving. Can he do that, or is he really more of just an early down runner? And then you take into account his size, some durability questions, you know, and what could he be at the next level? He could carry a heavy workload at the Pac-12, you know, running between the tackles at Stanford. But in the NFL, that's not going to work. That's not going to fly as much. So, you know, if he ends up just being an early down runner at the NFL level, but then question marks about how much he can handle in terms of running, you know, between the tackles, you know, I think that's where there's some question marks with Love, and I think they're warranted. You know, I think he's a guy who still should be a day 2 pick, but I think there's going to be some questions about him in terms of his receiving ability, durability. Can he handle the rigors of a heavy workload at the NFL level when everyone's bigger, faster, stronger than what he's seen at the Pac-12? You know, so Love's a guy who, again, I'd love to see him become more involved in the pass game. I just don't think that's going to be, you know, what Stanford does there. Another guy I wanted to bring up is Elijah Holyfield out of Georgia. 14 carries, 90 yards. I think myself, Matt, and most of like draft Twitter, and especially the Devy community, really thought we were going to see a breakout of DeAndre Swift. I mean, he's one of the most talented running backs in all of college football, not draft eligible, you know, in 2019. He's got to wait to 2020. But we did think he was going to take over the reins of Sony Michel and Nick Chubb and really be the bell cow workhorse there. And as is typical with Georgia, they're really more spreading it out between Elijah Holyfield, who once upon a time was a big-time recruit himself, and DeAndre Swift. And Holyfield has looked pretty solid. You know, I think he's a guy who I didn't know if he was more of a late-round prospect, but I think he's maybe going to push his way into that, you know, round four to round six mix, more than like round seven of UDFA. He's got some skill. He's got some talent. He runs hard. He runs aggressively, you know, and I think Georgia likes having that 1-2 combination, you know, and I don't see it changing. Now, maybe if they get put in a tough spot and DeAndre Swift is their best playmaker, you'll see him carry a heavier workload. But I think Elijah Holyfield is going to be heavily involved the entire season. So that's something that we're going to follow closely throughout the year, you know, and then kind of see, you know, how it pans out in the pre-draft process. You know, is Holyfield the guy that can elevate himself? We're going to get a lot of film on him this year, a lot of tape against strong SEC opponents. So I think we're going to get a better feel on Elijah Holyfield. If I transition this to the wide receivers, first guy I want to start with is a guy I know Matt was really high on in the offseason and said he thought he could be a guy who really emerges this year. And that was Chase Claypool out of Notre Dame this past week against Wake Forest. 4 catches, 51 yards, and a touchdown. What I really like about him is his combination of athleticism, body control, ability to go up and get it, his size. He's a guy who I think, as the year progresses, is a guy that could become a little bit more known, a little bit more national attention thrown his way, and could really intrigue people when we're talking about transitioning to the next level at the NFL. Now, they have a big game this week. I'll bring it up in the tail of the tape in a little bit. But Claypool is a guy who I'm really excited to kind of follow more closely. You know, Matt really talked about him a lot in the wide receiver preview shows, and I think it's important to check in on these guys and see if they're developing and progressing like maybe we thought they had a chance to, and I think Claypool is doing that. Another guy I want to bring up is Riley Ridley. Riley Ridley out of Georgia, obviously Calvin Ridley's younger brother. He's a guy who was both in Matt and I's top 10 before the season started, and Riley Ridley seems to be taking control of that Georgia wide receiving corps and kind of becoming the alpha dog there, the leader there. 5 catches, 87 yards, and a touchdown. I love his route running ability. I love his big play ability. I think he's the guy that the more looks he gets and the more targets he gets, the more big plays he's going to make. I don't even think they ask him to do as much as he could potentially handle and take on, because their run game is good, their defense is good, that they don't need him to do more. But I do think his game is even greater than maybe what we see in terms of box score and statistics. So I think Ridley's a guy who's got his stock up this year as well. A couple other wide receivers, Paris Campbell, the do-it-all from Ohio State, really benefiting by the improved quarterback play they had there. 8 catches, 147 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He's a guy you can get the ball in a variety of ways: screens, slants, jet sweeps, all different types of stuff. But he's got some game-breaking ability. He's got the ability to pick up big chunk yards after the catch. Campbell's a guy who is going to intrigue NFL teams with his versatility. I think that's really Paris Campbell's calling card, is his versatility. He took that role over from Curtis Samuel after Curtis Samuel went on to the NFL. I actually think Campbell might be a better, well-rounded player than Curtis Samuel and have the body type to withstand the rigors of doing more at the NFL level, not be able to be pushed off routes as easily, handle more touches. Campbell's size and stature are way better than what Curtis Samuel was in terms of being able to withstand the rigors of that. So I'm liking Paris Campbell. Another wide receiver I wanted to bring up as well as David Sills out of West Virginia. All he keeps doing is catching touchdowns. You know, he's a guy who Matt and I weren't that high on before the season started. We acknowledged the ridiculous statistical production. And I think, again, I don't know if we're going to be able to truly evaluate him because he's going to put up big stats in college. I want to see if he's a guy who you know, at an all-star game like the Senior Bowl or the Shrine game, most likely the Senior Bowl? How does he look against better quality defensive back, more physical defensive backs? And then at the NFL level, he's not going to have this massive size advantage to just win and out-muscle guys on a regular basis. He will at times, you know, obviously with that size and stature, but the athletic guys are defensive backs are more athletic. They're bigger, they're stronger, they're more physical at the NFL level. Is he going to be able just to play that? I'm going to go up and get it and produce like that. I still have some question marks, but he is following up a monster year with another one. So he's going to be a guy that I may look back and say, you know what? I didn't give him enough credit for the traits that he did have, his calling card, going up and getting the ball, making big plays, winning at the catch point. I think I've been scared off a little bit by so many of those type of guys falling in the NFL draft last year. The NFL telling us that they don't truly value it as much anymore. The Simi Cobbs, the Alan Lazards, you know, the Jahlil Scotts, like a lot of those guys fell in the draft. Some of them went undrafted. You know, we've seen guys like Laquan Treadwell, like guys who don't have the athletic stature and profile to maybe create separation on their own. And they rely so much on winning at the catch point, size, you know, physical strength. Sometimes that doesn't translate to the next level. It's more about route running, you know, and quickness, you know, and I still have some concerns about David Sills in that regards, but he continues to put up a monster year. And it's possible that his calling card is so great that it potentially supersedes any athletic concerns or route running concerns that I might have about him. So he's going to be a guy all year we're going to be talking about. If I look at the tight end position, I want to bring up Alzie Mack from Notre Dame. He had 6 catches for 61 yards, becoming a little bit more involved in the pass game. Really good athletic ability. We've known that for years. He's been a guy on the Devy radar, in the Devy community, talked highly about it. He's really became a well-balanced tight end. He's a solid blocker, but his receiving ability still is what I think will intrigue NFL teams the most. And if they continue to use him like they did this week and give him that opportunity, I think he's a guy that could push his way into day two of an NFL draft. Because I do think he's got some intriguing skill set in terms of his combination of size, athletic ability, route running ability, winning at the catch point, physical strength. He's a guy that intrigues me. And then another guy I want to talk about is Albert Okwuegbunam from Missouri. He's a guy who is in the top 3 tight ends for me in the preseason. Albert O, I'll call him so I don't butcher his last name. 9 catches, 81 yards this week against Georgia. Georgia really didn't have an answer to slow him down. You know, he was one of the focal points of that Missouri offense to help them move the ball. And I think he has traits that transfer to the NFL level. I think he's a day two type prospect. I think he's a guy who, you know, can win at the catch point, can be a big red zone threat, you know, has the size that you look for to create mismatches against linebackers and against safeties. And I think he's a guy who, you know, this tight end class was really looked at as lacking, but between Albert O and another guy I want to bring up right here, Irv Smith Jr. out of Alabama. Now, I don't know if he's going to come out, but it's hard not to watch him and get some OJ Howard visions. You know, the size, the athletic ability. I really, 4 catches, 74 yards this week, but he seems like a guy that if he was asked to do more, could handle a heavier workload. It's just that Alabama doesn't ask him to do much more. But Irv Smith Jr. is a guy, as a redshirt sophomore, going to be super intrigued to see if he contemplates coming out early. Now, Nick Saban seems to do a tremendous job getting these guys to stay longer than you thought. I mean, OJ Howard went back for another year. You know, a lot of guys seem to go back. Damian Harris went back for another year. Some of his defensive guys go back. So it'll be interesting to see if Irv Smith Jr. really comes out as a redshirt sophomore or goes back. But I think his skill set translates to the NFL level. I think he's another day two type prospect that is really going to intrigue NFL teams with what he brings to the table. So he's a guy I'm curious to see with their passing offense, you know, exploding this year if Irv Smith Jr. continues to be an integral part of their pass offense, because I think he creates a lot of mismatches against defenses. And if we finish off the NFL draft report, let's take a look at the quarterbacks. Obviously, Justin Herbert this week, 26 of 33, 346 and a touchdown against Stanford. Impressive game. Got to love his athleticism too. 11 carries, 35 yards, can move around in the pocket, can make plays off structure, has all the arm talent to make every NFL pro. He's squarely now at the top of my quarterback list. And he started to separate himself a little bit And I'm starting to see a little bit more of he's the clear-cut guy, and then other guys like, you know, Jared Stidham, who this week, again, a little bit underwhelming, comfortable win for Auburn. But like Matt and I talked about last week, Jared Stidham always leaves me wanting more. So I think the gap between Herbert and Stidham is widening a little bit. And to be honest with you, Stidham is the guy who I think right now, I think Will Grier is pushing to catch him in terms of my rankings. You know, Will Grier had a little bit further down in the preseason when we did the, you know, preview shows in August, but Will Grier continues to impress. 25 of 35, 356, 5 touchdowns. When I watch him play, I do get a lot of Baker Mayfield vibes. I don't know if that means he's going to elevate his way to being the first pick in the NFL draft. Highly unlikely, but I do think he can elevate himself to be a late first round to early second round pick. I love his ability to play off structure. He's got plenty of arm talent. He's got this moxie and savviness about him that intrigues me. He comes across as a leader. I enjoy watching Will Grier play. I think there's a place for him at the NFL level as we see more and more teams creating game plans and offenses that really cater to their, you know, quarterback's needs. I think Will Grier would need that at the next level. But I think if you create a system that, you know, air raid spread type system, get the ball out quickly, let him play a little bit off structure and off script and, you know, make plays, I think that's where Will Grier can really be successful. I think he could potentially translate. And, you know, a guy like Baker Mayfield, I think, has opened the eyes to a lot of people, you know, that guys like that can translate, even if they don't have the prototypes in terms of size, you know, and stature and stuff like that. And then another guy, Dwayne Haskins. I talked about Justin Herbert being at the top of my leaderboard. I don't know if Dwayne Haskins is going to come out. He's another one of those redshirt sophomores, but I'm super intrigued by him. You know, when I update my rankings, Haskins could move to number two on that list. You know, if somebody said Justin Herbert is 1A and Dwayne Haskins 1B, I wouldn't really disagree so strongly with that. You know, Haskins has the athleticism, the arm talent. You know, he doesn't make mistakes, good decision making. You know, love his overall game. He's going to be a guy that'll definitely be getting in the scouting notebook, you know, on an update, because I think there's a chance now that he does come out. Maybe he doesn't, but I think there's a chance that Haskins comes out. And if he comes out, I think he'll be squarely in the mix as one of the first quarterbacks taken. I think he could potentially push his way over some of these other guys that we've been talking about for longer, the Jared Stidhams, you know, the Will Greers, the Ryan Finleys, you know, the Drew Locks, who I'll bring up in a second. I think Dwayne Haskins can elevate himself over that and put him in the mix with Justin Herbert to be the top two quarterbacks in the draft. And then Drew Locke, last guy I'm going to talk about, 23 of 48, 221 yards and interception against Georgia. Listen, he's got elite arm talent, no doubt about that. I think he's a little bit of a statue, a little bit of a traditional pocket passer. I think that is slightly, you know, on the way out in the NFL level. You know, I think he's got some accuracy issues at times, but a lot of talent there, some development in terms of, you know, playing at the pro style, I think would be needed. I think he is potentially a first round pick or early second round pick. I like his game, but I do think he, again, Herbert has separated himself a little bit from the pack, with only Dwayne Haskins really making a push in my eyes to be the closest one to Herbert. I think Locke could be a first round pick. I think NFL teams could really fall in love with that arm talent. I think he does a decent job throwing with poise as well and taking some off when he needs to and throwing with touch. But I do need to see consistent accuracy improvement. And I do want to see if he has any athleticism to move around the pocket at all, because I rarely see that. Every once in a while you see it, but not with any type of consistency. So I'll be curious to see if I see any of that this year. So before we transition this to the next segment, here's a quick word from one of our sponsors. If you want an unfair advantage to dominate your fantasy football league, well, look no further and download SquadQL, the only mobile app you need to crush your friends and rivals with this year. SquadQL recommends the best starting lineup for you each week based on your starters, bench players, and free agent pool. You may ask, how does SquadQL actually do this? The app connects directly with your Yahoo, ESPN, and CBS leagues, pulling in your actual roster and your league scoring system. SquadQL provides waiver and trade recommendations, plus the app gives you player rankings each week, and it's all based on your league settings. SquadQL truly is your go-to app this fantasy football season. Head over to squadql.com to download SquadQL, your all-in-one fantasy football manager. SquadQL is brought to you by the creators of RotoQL, the leading daily fantasy lineup optimizer trusted by 100,000 DFS players. You can download RotoQL for free for both Apple and Android. So if we take this over to the Devy slant, a couple guys I wanted to talk about here. Obviously, we have to start right at the top with right now the leader in the Heisman candidacy, and that is Tua Tagovailoa out of Alabama, 22 of 30, 387 yards, four touchdowns. I mean, the guy barely plays the second half of games. You know, they can bring in Jalen Hurts just to keep him, you know, getting some reps, you know, just in case something was to ever happen to Tua. But, I mean, this kid is unbelievable. Matt and I mentioned Russell Wilson last week. It's impossible to watch this kid play and not think of Russell Wilson. The arm talent, the athleticism, the mobility, the ability to play off structure, the touch he throws, the poise, his leadership, his command of the huddle, it is all top-notch. Right now, it's hard to envision a scenario, if you play this out, that he's not the first pick in the 2020 NFL draft. And that's also going to have guys like Jake Fromm, who is a really, you know, elite quarterback prospect himself. But Tua just, it's amazing to watch him. I mean, it's really unfair. Alabama's always had an elite team, and now you add this type of talent. I mean, if I was, you know, in a Devy league and had a chance to get Tua, I would get him now, because I really do think he's going to be a special player at the next level. If we stay on the quarterback theme, nice bounce back week by JT Daniels out of USC. Nice win by USC to beat Washington State last Friday night. He was 17 of 26 for 241 yards and three touchdowns. Really bounced back big. The experience he's getting as a freshman is going to reap benefits down the line. Daniels is a guy Matt was talking up since last year's, you know, freshman notebook on how much he liked his game when he was watched him, his film, and then the high school all-star games. Daniels is a really intriguing prospect that over the next couple of years, he's going to emerge into one of the top quarterback prospects in all of college football. Another top quarterback, but only a freshman as well, Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson, 13 of 18 this past week, 176 yards and four touchdowns, and now he was named the starter for Clemson moving forward. It was just a matter of when, not if. Lawrence, you know, is the total package, has the size, has the athleticism, has the arm talent, has the accuracy and decision-making, just needs that experience to continue to grow into the player that he can be. Another guy who's probably going to be a flat-out superstar. And then two running backs that I want to talk about here in the Devy slant. One is Ricky Slade out of Penn State. He's a guy Matt was super high on, one of his top-rated running backs in last year's high school running back class. Playing behind Miles Sanders the other day, he had 10 carries for 94 yards. You almost feel like Penn State just continues the trend here. It was Saquon Barkley with Miles Sanders waiting in the wings. Now I feel like it's Miles Sanders' time, and then when the game gets out of hand, there's a change of pace, it's Ricky Slade. You know, and whether Miles Sanders, you know, plays this year and next at Penn State or leaves after this year, Ricky Slade's going to be there to take the torch and continue to put up elite production at Penn State on the ground. But it's not just the Penn State. It's not just the O-line. It's these players are super talented. You know, these are NFL caliber prospects. Slade offers, you know, everything you want to see out of a freshman running back, explosive player, fun to watch. He's a guy who, again, try to get him on your Devy teams now, you know, before, you know, he gets closer and closer. You know, as a freshman, you can get him now and probably pay a lot cheaper price than what it might cost as a sophomore or junior if he develops like we expect him to do. And then Travis Etienne from Clemson, 11 carries, 122 yards and a touchdown. He's another guy who seems like if he was asked to do more and he was asked to carry a heavier workload, I think there's little doubt that he'd be able to do that. I truly believe he could handle, you know, a 25, 30 carry type game. It's just Clemson doesn't need him to do that, so they keep him fresh. They have Tavion Feaster as well. But Ethan, I think, is the best NFL draft caliber prospect. So down the line, when he becomes draft eligible, I think he's a name that you'll be hearing a lot about. So before we transition this over to the tail of the tape, as we kind of take a look ahead to this upcoming week of games and what prospect matchups we're most looking forward to, here's another word from our other sponsor as well. No more getting crushed by the pros. With thequantedge.com, you will have the tools you need to play like a pro. With a lineup optimizer, an injury tool, wide receiver cornerback matchups, and a head-to-head tool, you will be armed with everything you need to win. You can make up to 150 lineups in seconds. Get a true understanding of a player's value, see the week's matchups to exploit, and compare two players to help you make the decision you were on the fence about at thequantedge.com. It doesn't stop with groundbreaking tools, though. With 10 industry experts on staff, you also get exclusive access to over 20 betting and fantasy articles and podcasts a week, and can join the TQE community by participating in the premium membership chat. We at Saturday to Sunday have a special deal for our loyal listeners. Using the promo code S2SEDGE, you get 10% off the season-long subscription. Go to thequantedge.com to sign up today. So as we transition this to this upcoming week of games in the Tale of the Tape segment, a lot of exciting matchups this week from a prospect analysis evaluative lens. First one I want to talk about is obviously Ohio State and Penn State. I've talked about a couple Ohio State and Penn State players today. In this game, let's start with Penn State. How does Miles Sanders look up against this really talented Ohio State defense? Can he be the impact player that Saquon Barkley was in these matchups? So that's going to be one thing to watch. How does Sanders look? Second, how does Juwan Johnson look? Matt was super high on him before the season started, had him in his top five wide receiver prospects on film analysis alone and skill for the 2019 NFL draft. How does he do in this game? And how he does is going to rest probably squarely on Trace McSorley's shoulders. How does Trace McSorley play in this game? You know, the moment is not too big for McSorley. He's a great college quarterback. You know, Penn State's going to try to pull off the upset this week. Going to be a really fun game, exciting game, probably a lot of points scored. How do this trio of Penn State, McSorley, Sanders, and Johnson look against this Ohio State team? If you flip it on the other side, you know, I obviously have talked about Dwayne Haskins. Can he keep his ridiculous hot start going? I expect him to. I don't think Penn State has any answers to slow down Dwayne Haskins. And if you do slow him down, Ohio State's got, you know, J.K. Dobbins, you know, Mike Weber, you know, running the ball. They got Paris Campbell. So many weapons, so many ways that the Buckeyes can beat you. How does J.K. Dobbins and Weber look in this game? Who maybe takes the lion's share of carries? You know, does somebody get hot and carry the heavy workload? Is it an even balance down the middle? Both of these guys super talented. J.K. Dobbins in my, you know, top three or five, you know, overall dynasty Devy players I'd be trying to get my hands on. You know, only Cam Akers and DeAndre Swift are running backs that I'd probably want more than J.K. Dobbins. Really love his combination of speed, acceleration, strength. He has it all. He's a complete player. I think the sky's the limit for how talented he can be there at Ohio State. Another game I'm going to watch closely is the Ole Miss LSU game, really from the Ole Miss side. How does Jordan Tamu look at the quarterback position? And how do those two wide receivers, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, we're going to talk about them a lot this year. We're going to talk a lot about them in the pre-draft process. You know, who does NFL, you know, draft Twitter prefer? Is it AJ Brown, who I think more is like in the mold of a, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster, or more of a guy like DK Metcalf, a guy who can be more maybe of that traditional X wide receiver, win on the outside and like that Dez Bryant type way? You know, what does the NFL crave more? Both really effective players. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, completely exploding this year, becoming an even bigger part of that Pittsburgh offense than I expected. You know, but Metcalf is a little bit more of the prototype when you're looking for a true outside the numbers wide receiver. So how do they look against LSU, who, you know, obviously they had that big win versus Auburn 2 weeks ago? How does LSU look in this game? How does Ole Miss fare against that defense over there at LSU? Another game I'm looking forward to watching is South Carolina, Kentucky. You know, a couple guys on the Kentucky front, Benny Snell is clearly the top prospect to be watching in that game. He's got some NFL caliber traits, runs really hard, good size, physical demeanor, strong, can push the pile, you know, more of an in between the tackles type guy, but really effective runner, can carry a heavy workload. He's a guy who I think will be on the mix in the day three radar around four to around five. That range, I think, is where Snell fits in terms of his NFL draft stock. On the other side, a couple guys we've talked a lot about. Jake Bentley, how does he perform in this game? And then his two wide receivers, you know, Bryan Edwards and Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel I've compared a lot to DJ Moore. Bryan Edwards is more of that outside the numbers type guy. I think Samuels is a guy you can do a lot of different things with. I think if you like DJ Moore, I think you should be loving Deebo Samuel as a prospect. But Bryan Edwards still the guy who intrigues me the most because he offers that ability to go up and get it. He offers the ability to win on the outside vertically down the field. But both him and Samuel, I think, are both, you know, top 100 prospects. I think they're both day two guys and both could have big impacts when they get to the NFL level. Another game I'm looking forward to watching is Stanford-Notre Dame. Obviously, on the Notre Dame side, I'm looking forward to watching the two guys I mentioned before, Chase Claypool, Alzay Mack, the wide receiver and tight end. How did they perform against Stanford's defense? I think those are the two top prospects from Notre Dame's offense that we could be talking about in next year's NFL draft. So it's good to see them go up against a matchup like Stanford. Notre Dame's schedule, not as tough as usual this year. So games like this are going to be games I really have on my radar to see how these guys perform. Another game I'm looking forward to watch is Louisville, Florida State. The last couple of years, Florida State really struggled against Louisville. Lamar Jackson had his way with them. You know, Florida State showed a little bit signs of life last year. DeAndre Francois played his best game in a while, looked poised in the pocket, you know, really accurate, good completion percentage, good statistical production last week. Can he keep that going? Can the Florida State turn around this season after starting so poorly on the offensive side? Still waiting for that Cam Akers blowout game where he just, you know, rushes for 200 yards and multiple touchdowns. I think he has that in his repertoire. I think he's the total package: size, speed, strength, agility, acceleration, quickness. I think he offers all of that. So I do think he's someone that, you know, I'm waiting for that breakout game to see. On the other side, how do the Louisville wide receivers look in this matchup? You know, obviously they're guys that we talked a lot about. Both Matt and I were really high on Des Fitzpatrick before the season started. And then obviously his teammate Jalen Smith as well. Both of those guys, how did they do in this game against the Florida State defense, which for the most part has held up, you know, as well as they could possibly have held up even in those early games. You know, at some point, any defense is going to break. So Florida State's got some talent on that defense. So I'm excited to see, you know, if Jalen Smith, if Des Fitzpatrick can get going in that game. Louisville had a poor game this past week. And I'm excited to see if they can kind of rebound here a little bit in this game against the Seminoles. And then Texas Tech, West Virginia, if you like offense, make sure you watch this game. Again, two guys I already mentioned, Will Grier, David Sills. I will have them squarely on my radar. I expect elite production from both of those guys this week. So I think it'll be another pinball type game. A lot of stats, a lot of production for both Grier and David Sills. So that kind of does it for the tail of the tape. Some things I'm looking forward to this upcoming week. Obviously, we'll be back next week to break it all down. But before we transition this over to the final segment of the night, which is the NFL Rookie Report, want to again just acknowledge that the Saturday to Sunday premium notebooks are now available. Head over to the website, click on the premium tab, and purchase these for $9.99, guys. What you get is access to four notebooks. It's the 2019 scouting notebook, which has already 65 or so profiles in there, 16 quarterbacks, 12 tight ends, 25 wide receivers, you know, 20 running backs. We'll continue to make updates during the year and then do major updates after the season. It's got strengths. It's got weaknesses. How they win, route running, when you're talking about receivers, if you're talking about running back, what's their receiving and rushing ability, pass blocking like for tight ends, their receiving ability, their blocking ability. You know, we talk about how their game translates, you know, scheme fit at the next level, role at the next level, what their NFL draft projection is right now. You know, all of that is in the scouting notebook. In addition to that, you get the rankings notebook, which has our draft eligible rankings, which are based on film. It has our Devy rankings, which we foreshadow future production in terms of fantasy at the NFL level. You get the freshman rankings there. You get our dynasty rookie rankings there, you know, all in the rankings notebook. So you get those two notebooks immediately. And then later in the new year, in about February, March, you get the freshman notebook, which has player profiles on 40 to 50 of the top incoming freshmen. And then in April, you get the 2019 draft projections notebook, which is projecting how we expect it to go, tabs for every single position, offense and defense, their measurements from the and metrics scores from the combine, some notes on the player and how we expect them to get taken in the NFL draft. There's a tab for the top 32, top 100, and top 256 players as well in the draft, who we expect to be taken on the first day, the second day, and then all seven rounds of the NFL draft as well. So please head over to SaturdaySundayFootball.com and pick up that for $9.99. You get all access to all of that. It is the best way to support the show. So Matt and I continue to do what we do here each and every week for you. So we transition this to the final segment of the night, and that is the NFL Rookie Report for this past week. A lot to talk about here. If we start the quarterback position, Baker Mayfield takes over last week due to an injury to Tyrod Taylor. Goes 17 of 23 for 201 yards, leads the Browns back to victory. It's officially Baker time. Love his poise. Love his ability to move around in the pocket. His ability to buy time, extend plays is one of his elite calling cards. Good accuracy. He's plenty of arm talent to make every NFL pro. Just you saw the energy in the building, his teammates. You know, Baker mania is for real. I think he's going to have big time success early in his career here and really be successful even as a rookie. In that game, he faced up against Sam Darnold. Darnold's 15 of 31, 169 yards, struggled a little bit. Again, Darnold is a guy who I didn't even think should have been starting from day one. I thought he needed a little bit of time to develop. They put him in there from day one. I think he needs a little bit of time to kind of mature into his role there. A lot of checkdowns. I think he'll eventually, as he settles down, look to push the ball more to the intermediate areas of the field and take some shots vertically down the field. One of the biggest stories of the week, the Buffalo Bills, led by Josh Allen, who went 15 of 22 for 196 yards and one passing touchdown, also had two rushing touchdowns, upset Minnesota, who were 17-point favorites. To all the people that hated Josh Allen, who said he didn't even deserve to be drafted, who thought it was embarrassing that he was being talked about, I mean, I don't know what more there is to say. I'm not saying Josh Allen is going to be, you know, a big-time NFL starting quarterback. That is yet to be determined. But he's already shown in limited time, preseason and this past week, of why he at least warranted a first-round pick. And myself, Matt, Sigmund Bloom, and a handful of others on draft Twitter really continue to stand up for this guy and say, listen, he might bust. But at the same time, he had some rare traits, the athleticism, the combination of athleticism and arm talent was worth being a first round pick. Because listen, Patrick Mahomes is taking the league by storm in his second year. And there were some questions about him, but you know what he had? He had elite arm talent. He had athleticism and he had to harness the rest of his game. And that's why Patrick Mahomes went in the first round of the NFL draft, and it's the exact same reason why Josh Allen went in the first round of the NFL draft. It's the exact reason why he deserved to go in the first round of the NFL draft. And again, if you just watch the look at box scores, and if you just look at statistics, you can make statistics say whatever you wanted. People were so solely focused on his completion percentage. And all we kept saying is ignore it. Ignore it. It's not that important at the college game. Watch the throws he's asked to make. He doesn't ask to check down too often. He's willing to push the ball vertically down the field. He's got to be the entire offense at Wyoming. So he's got to take chances and put the ball in the tight windows. He doesn't have wide receivers who are getting open. People were so focused on that, they lost sight of the skill that the man possessed in a variety of facets. And I don't know if it's going to translate. There's so much more to be determined than that. But like I said already, he already showed enough to be worth a first-round pick in my eyes. I saw it when he was at Wyoming. And to me, he's already justified his spot by showing that the arm talent, the athleticism, he's very Cam Newton-like. I think, you know, I wasn't the first one who said that. I kept comparing him to a young Ben Roethlisberger from Miami of Ohio. But you know what? Maybe Cam Newton's even a better one. Because Cam Newton's not the most accurate passer. He's never going to be the most accurate passer. Josh Allen might not be. But what Josh Allen could do is play off structure, use that athleticism to his advantage, has elite, elite arm talent to make any throw from any platform on the move. And you combine that, and there's a lot of similarities to what him and Cam Newton could be in the NFL as players. So I was ecstatic. There's no other player I've ever wanted to see succeed more based on all the negative connotations that were spewed about him in the pre-draft process that were so unwarranted for whatever reason, that people were so adamant that he had 0% chance at being a productive NFL player. And people just could not wrap their heads around why the NFL was so high on him. And then Josh Rosen came into his game, played the last two drives of that game, was 4 for 7 for 36 yards and threw an interception. He's a guy, it's officially Josh Rosen time now for the Cardinals. He's a guy who I think should have been starting the whole year. Sam Bradford doesn't have anything left, but I understood why. They're lacking some playmakers. Their O-line is terrible. But you got to put Rosen out there and see what he's got. He was pro-ready. I thought him and Baker Mayfield were the two most pro-ready guys. I thought Darnold and Josh Allen were the guys who should have been sitting. You know, so we'll see what Rosen has now. Can he develop a rapport with, you know, young wide receiver like Christian Kirk? Can he develop a rapport with Larry Fitzgerald? And can he kind of get that offense going a little bit and get David Johnson going in the pass game and opening up things in the run game as well? If we transition this over to the pass catchers, I'm going to focus in on the tight end position to start. Dallas Goedert this past week, 7 catches for 73 yards and a touchdown. Really a big part of that Philadelphia Eagles pass offense. A lot of injuries there in their receiving corps, so Goedert is taking a bigger role there and forming a dynamic duo with Zach Ertz. I think Goddard's legit. I think if you can still buy him, because the owner of him is a little bit worried long-term that Zach Ertz being there is going to hold him back, I'd go get him now, because I think Goddard is legit. I think he's going to continue to put up tight end two numbers this year with some spike tight end 1 weeks in there. And down the line, you don't know what's going to happen. I think you try to get him now, because I do think when the time eventually comes for him to see a major, you know, target share, I think he's got, you know, top five, top six, you know, tight end upside there as well. Reminds me a lot of Travis Kelce. Mike Gesicki, 3 catches, 31 yards this past week, you know, continues to kind of, you know, not get a full allotment of snaps. So until he does that, I think we're going to see him, you know, be inconsistent from week in and week out. If we look at the wide receiver positions, Calvin Ridley exploding this week for 3 touchdowns, over 100, you know, 50 yards, you know, quickly has emerged into a starting wide receiver for Atlanta and is showing why Matt and I loved his game so much. So many people were worried about the combine for this guy, his age, his market share, all this stuff that people want to look at. Watch the tape, guys, at times, and let that carry your opinion on a player. That's all Matt and I keep harping on, because it really is so prevalent when you watch these college guys. Calvin Ridley was playing with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is not a quarterback. He's a great college player. He's a great athlete. He was able to get Alabama and win a national championship there. But Jalen Hurts was holding Calvin Ridley back. We are starting to see what Calvin Ridley can do with a good quarterback. It just took to get into the NFL to see it. But Calvin Ridley, it was the best route runner in this class. He was the most pro-ready. You're seeing that explosion, the explosiveness that he offers, the route running, the precision that he offers, the hands, all of that he checks boxes. But people wanted to knock him for his jumps at the combine. Who cares? You know, like, I love the combine literally as much as anybody does. I sit there and watch it every single minute, tweeting every single player, what they do, every 40, how they looked in drills. I love it as much as anybody. But do not let it guide what you think about a player. Use it to break ties. Use it to move guys around within tiers. And Calvin Ridley is the perfect example. You watch him on tape, there shouldn't have been any doubts about Calvin Ridley. Premier route runner. And you're seeing it already. People were worried about landing in Atlanta with Julio Jones. Matt and I, when we were joined by Matt Waldman after the draft, talked about, don't look at it as a negative. Look at it as a positive. They could support multiple guys. They once upon a time supported Julio Jones, Roddy White, and Tony Gonzalez. They could support Julio Jones being a wide receiver one and Calvin Ridley eventually being a wide receiver two during that time. That's how special of a player Calvin Ridley is. that people were so worried about that. But take the other side of it. Take that Marshawn Lattimore was mostly covering Julio Jones this past week, and that's why Calvin really was able to do what he did. And at some point, he forced New Orleans to take Marshawn Lattimore and put it on him. And then what'd that do? It opened up Julio Jones for a big 55-yard play after he had been stymied a little bit earlier in the game. Ridley is a special player. If people are still not valuing him as such because he plays for Atlanta, Julio Jones is the guy, we don't want a secondary option, well, then take advantage of that owner and go get him now. Not a lot of other wide receivers to talk about. Antonio Callaway, I think with Baker Mayfield in the now at the helm, is going to see more production. I like him. I'd invest in him. You know, Anthony Miller suffered an injury. He's going to miss some time. Cortland Sutton playing still as the third wide receiver for Denver, but seeing a lot of snaps. James Washington, same thing, third wide receiver. If you like those guys, there's a little bit of a buy low window here. If people are looking for more immediate production, that you can go get those guys that are a little bit below in the depth chart, but their time will come to be fantasy relevant. Christian Kirk started to see more work this past week. I think you'll see a lot of him, especially with Josh Rosen now taking over the helm. And DJ Moore, we had heard some whispers that they wanted to get him more involved. Didn't happen yet. You know, so he's a guy out there. Again, some of these wide receivers producing, but opportunity for a few of them to potentially buy low on if you like them. And let's finish off with the running backs. Obviously, Saquon Barkley, another ridiculous performance, over 100 yards, 82 yards rushing and a touchdown, had a fantastic run in the first quarter to break for a touchdown, and then really impressive play as a receiver late in the game on the last drive for the Giants when they put the game away, motions out as a wide receiver on the outside perimeter, matched up against a linebacker, puts a move on him, literally throws up his hand like Randy Moss style, letting Eli know that he's open, throw me the ball. He goes up and gets it, shows great body control. I mean, this guy can play wide receiver. I mean, he really can. There are certain guys like him, Christian McCaffrey, that could literally be starting wide receivers at the NFL level in addition to their rushing ability. Barkley is the goods. Not much more to say there. Kerryon Johnson coming out party for Detroit, finally rushed for 100 yards. It had been years and years since the Lions had a 100-yard rusher. I'm going to say this. I don't think they're giving him the ball enough. I'd go out and buy him right now and hope that, you know, people are concerned about the timeshare, the committee that the Lions got. I'd aggressively get Kerryon Johnson right now on my team. I'd rather have him than any of the running backs that are going to come out next year in the NFL draft. I think Kerryon Johnson could eventually be a top 12, top 15 running back in terms of fantasy. I love his overall game. I love his ability. Pre-draft, he was my number four running back. I had him ahead of Nick Chubb. I love his all-around game that he offers. I'm really excited to watch him. I heard someone say a Matt Forte comp. I like that comp. I think it's a good comp, but I think Kerryon Johnson is more physical and stronger and can take on even more of a wear and tear and push the pile. I do think Matt Forte was a better receiver. So I like the comparison, but I do think there's a little bit of differentness in their game. His patience and vision and waiting, it's Le'Veon Bell-like. It truly is. We talked about that last year. Dave Brugler talked about that. Other people talked about that. I think it's true. Royce Freeman took a little bit more of a workload this week because star undrafted free agent Philip Lindsay ended up getting ejected for throwing a punch. So Royce Freeman took a bigger workload, was solid. I think he's kind of stuck in a timeshare where you probably invested a dynasty rookie pick. I'm not sure you're going to see the returns. Listen, if you like Nick Chubb, if you like Ronald Jones, there are definitely, or Rashard Penny, there are buy low windows now. You know, Ronald Jones can't even be active yet. Rashard Penny is definitely way behind Chris Carson after this week, and Nick Chubb is way behind Carlos Hyde. So if you get an ANSI owner who owns them, I think there's a buy low window on all of those guys right now, and it might be as low as it goes for them. And one last guy I want to talk about is Nyheim Hines, starting to become a little bit more involved in the Colts passing offense. He's a guy who could emerge into that guy who can catch 5 to 6 passes a week, get, you know, 5 to 6 carries a week, and be that guy that lives in that 9 to 12 touch range and make an impact and be a serviceable, you know, RB3/flex in PPR type leagues. So he's a guy who I think his stock is up right now as well. So there it is, the NFL Rookie Report for week 3 in the books. A lot of excitement this upcoming week. NFL, you know, kicks into high gear by week four. It's amazing that week four is like the quarter mark of the season already for teams. You start some buys, a lot of good games in college football I mentioned in the tail of the tape. So can't wait to be watching football this weekend and then join you again next week to break it all down. So on behalf of Matt, on behalf of our sound and tech engineer, David Nakano, and myself, thank you for joining us. And we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.